What is the gospel? I imagine that depending on how you were raised, how you came to faith, or maybe who you're sharing with, it might seem a little bit different each time. In short, the gospel is the good news that the God who created the world and all of us wants to have a relationship with us, and yet does not force us into that relationship. Simple? Maybe. Yet it seems to be one of the hardest things for most of us to do. How do we share the gospel with others? It raises questions like, who should I share with? Do I share with this coworker? With a neighbor? What about the family member who doesn't know Christ? There's implications and challenges that are hard for each one. And if I should share with that person, what should I say? Where do I start? When should I share? And maybe as you're asking all these questions, you say, why does this seem so hard? Paul made it sound so easy as I read his stories. And then there's questions like, how will this person or how will these people respond if I do share? Will they never talk to me again? Will they think me a fool? Your bulletins today were printed with a little extra love and care, and I want to tell you a little story about this. You see, the two staples on the side, and they're special, it's called saddle stitch staples, as I learned as I was preparing the bulletin, and they ran out as I was trying to print the bulletin. Fortunately, my four-year-old Lizzie was here and helping, and she said, Mom, we can do this. Let's watch the YouTube video and let's figure this out together. So ahead we went, and we figured out one staple, and then about 50 bulletins later, we figured out the other stapler much more easily, because amazingly, it's about the same way as changing the first one. But I was admiring her confidence in going ahead and tackling this job. These big printers look a little bit intimidating to most of us. And she said, we'll do it, Mom. Let's do it together. So in the same way, together, let's figure out how we can share the gospel. It may not be quite the same as changing the stapler the second time around, as sharing it each time seems a little bit different. But I think there's something to be learned by trying again and again. So let's look at our passage today. So Paul had just arrived in Athens. And what did he do? He started by looking around, getting to know the place and its people. There he was, discovering all of the idols that were being worshipped in Athens. And he grieved. He was sad. He wanted people to know the true God. And out of that motivation, he starts sharing a bit. And in Paul's style, it sounds more like arguing and dialoguing. And he goes first to the synagogue to dialogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles there, who have some sense of who this God is, but didn't understand how Jesus fit in. Paul also spoke daily in the public square to whoever happened to be there. He had some debates with some philosophers. The Epicureans believed that seeking happiness and pleasure was the primary goal of life, and the Stoic philosophers valued thinking over feeling and sought to live harmoniously with nature and with reason. The initial response to hearing about Jesus and his resurrection had people saying, this babbler's got some strange ideas, and he's pushing a foreign religion. I don't know about you, but if I overheard people saying that kind of thing about me, it would have been very tempting to stop there. But interestingly enough, The people invite him to share more. And so he does. And Paul goes to the Council of Philosophers. They met on a low hill overlooking Athens. And the way that the meeting space was set up, the audience would be able to overlook the city and see its many idols as they listened to Paul speaking to them. And I think that would be fascinating to have the context of seeing their own city right there as Paul is both alluding to it and challenging some of the thought. You see, the people were very interested in the latest thoughts and different ideas, so they wanted to hear more. Even though what Paul was saying seemed strange to them, they weren't sure if they were going to buy in, but they were definitely open to hearing more. Paul was well prepared to speak to this group. He himself came from Tarsus, which was also an educational center, and he was well trained. He was a rabbi that was taught by the finest scholar of his day. So he knew how to speak to a group of philosophers with different ideas. We too can prepare to share by studying God's word in different ways. Now, Paul wants to start off in a positive way. And he says, oh, you guys are very, very religious. Or perhaps that could mean superstitious. And depending on who was talking and how it was being said, that could either be a compliment or a criticism. So Paul's curious audience listened in. Is Paul criticizing us or is he complimenting us? Paul meant it as a compliment at this point, as he was looking to gain a hearing. The Greeks were very fearful of offending any god by failing to give due attention, so they attempted to cover any omissions by adding an altar to an unknown god, wanting to make sure that they would not be punished unnecessarily, trying to worship every god. And while it may seem different today, I think there's a lot of people who live a life driven by fear. Paul used this fear and this reality by pointing out to them, you have an altar to an unknown God. Now, let me tell you about this God you do not yet know. This is the God who made the whole world, who made everything in it. This is not a God who can merely live in a man-made temple. This is not simply an idol. This is a personal creator who not only created the world but cares about it, who gives life and breath to everything. And as Paul was saying this, his listeners knew this was in contrast to a common thought of the day. They thought about creation much more in ways that we would maybe think of a typical evolutionist thinking about it, in a sense of, it just happens. It's a fluke. I'm here by chance. And Paul is challenging this. No, this is intentional. He says, God created all people. God planned and designed the fall of nations and determined their boundaries. And in saying so, he was highlighting the fact that this was not something simply left to chance, as some believed. God's purpose in this way was to help people seek after God, even though God's not far away. For in God we live and move and have our being. And this is a line we've heard frequently, and it actually alludes to several famous poems that our philosophers would know well at that point as well. So Paul has made multiple references to things that are familiar to his audience. He has captured them by pointing out their unknown God altar, by talking about their poets, by admiring their search for spirituality. He's also highlighted a God who created the world and who cares about them. And he says, God has given you time to understand. He has overlooked your ignorance or your lack of understanding. But now is the time to hear the truth and to decide for yourself whether you will believe. Now is the time to decide, will you turn away from idols and turn to the living God? And I think it would have been easy for Paul to stop here. He had presented things. He had presented it in a light that would be appealing to his listeners. But he has missed a key point up till now. And if you've paid close attention, maybe you've noticed. We don't have a lot of kids here today. I don't know if you guys caught this. Have you noticed that Paul so far hasn't even said anything about Jesus yet? So far, he's just talked about God creating the world. Do you think it's important that Paul talks about Jesus as he's sharing the good news? Yeah, I've got a few nods there. How about from our adults? Sometimes it's easy to try and leave things out if it doesn't seem politically correct. And Paul knew that this is what was going to be more challenging for his listeners. For the Greeks, the idea of resurrection was offensive and unrealistic. And yet Paul shared it anyhow because it was key to the good news story. The immortality of the soul was accepted by the Greeks, but not the resurrection of a dead body. Yet Paul says, you need to know that this God who loves you sent his son Jesus, and his son Jesus overcame death and came back to life in a body. Yes, this may not be easy to hear. Yes, this may not be current with your thoughts. But this is part of what you need to hear as part of the good news. In response, some people rejected Paul's message, said, no way, I'll have nothing to do with that resurrection of the body thing. Some people procrastinated. What you say is interesting. Maybe I'd like to hear more at some point. I'm sure you can think of different words that you've heard from people over the years when they're trying to squirm out of something. And yet, there was also a few who accepted. There were a few for whom hearing the good news caused them to respond with belief. I wonder how this felt for Paul. Peter and Paul had experienced much success when sharing the gospel with boldness. They were used to hearing stories of thousands of new believers. Yet today was not one of those days for Paul. I wonder what that was like for him. Paul then went on to Corinth. And it seems in some of his writings that he wrestled with what happened in Athens for a while. But I'm sure glad that Paul did not give up on sharing the gospel after that. He continued on, even as it was costly for him. And it has me wondering, how is it that we share the good news today? How do we balance out adapting for our audience, sharing things that connect with them? Paul really made it a priority to first connect with where they were at. How do we connect with those that we are sharing with? At the same time, how do we ensure that as we balance connecting with others, that we ensure not to change the truth of the message? And how do we listen to the Spirit's promptings to share? Maybe a little, maybe in time more as we're invited to do so. And how do we share as we are called to do so without worrying about the response? How do we ensure we don't get discouraged, that we don't give up, even if the response doesn't seem like the one we were looking for? So those are some questions I want to leave with you here today. But what is the gospel? It is good news. It is good news, and I'm amazed by the way that it's so easy for us to share so many other good news stories in our lives. Lizzie, Clara, last September, I think it was about last September, you girls started praying for a baby, didn't you? Yeah, do you like sharing now that God's answering your prayer and there's a baby growing in mommy's tummy? Yeah, you're pretty excited about sharing that good news, aren't you? Yeah, that's fun good news to share. We like to share news of new babies on the way. We like to share news of exciting life events. But sometimes it seems harder for us to share the news of the gospel. So I want to encourage you to, as you reflect on the passages here, to consider how it is that God is calling you to share and who it is that he may have you share with. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you. Thank you for the stories in Acts that you have placed here for us. Thank you that you have challenged us to share your good news, because indeed it is amazing news that you are the God of creation, and that even though we are broken and have disappointed you along the way, that you still love us and you still long to be in relationship with us. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for Jesus' victory over death. Thank you that you are making all things new. Lord, whether we may have a good response or a challenging response, Lord, help us to share your good news as we are invited to do so and as you lay on our heart to share. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.